All right.
So,
how many people join Zoom?
Hi everyone. Welcome.
We'll listen to the song towards the end. What, Martin? Shalom, Martin. Good to see you.
Shalom.
All right. Thank you, Priel.
So, who knows this song and where is from?
Oh, okay, okay. Very nice. Very nice. Who knows the song? All right, Tina. I see Mindy, Maggie. Okay. But okay, but do you know where the song is from?
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, Ruchama, yes. I can hear you loud and clear. Okay, very nice. Anyone knows where the song is from? Where is this performance?
Mindy, no.
Mindy, you want to share? Mindy? Oh, Mindy's really. Eurovision, that's right. Paris, Eurovision in Paris, 1978. Abani B. By Izar, performed by Izar Cohen, the legendary Izar Cohen, was this very amazing Afro haircut of the 70s. We will share the lyrics and the pictures in a minute.
It is the first Israeli song that won
yeah,
in the Eurovision.
What year? 1978. In 1978, you won in 1978.
I remember the song.
That's what I want to ask. If someone remembers, maybe the performance, maybe it's a song. Back then, Israel was 30 years old. So, Abani B, we'll talk about the name of the song in a minute. What exactly Abani B in Hebrew? That's not a word. Lyrics by Ehud Manor. Probably you've heard his name. And composed by Nurit Hirsch. We just saw her. She was a conductor in the performance. Performed by Izar Cohen. And the Alpha Beta Band, which is not a real band, they were formed that night and they were separated after the performance. So that's not a real band. Was released in 1978 and was the first song, as Priel said, to win Eurovision. Everyone knows what Eurovision is, right, Canadians? You all know what Eurovision is. Okay, good. Someone needs to explain what Eurovision is? Okay, good. Very nice. Okay, that's good. We're not in Europe, but we're part of the British Kingdom, so maybe they know because of that. So this is yeah, Martin.
Maybe you can explain Abani B.
We'll explain Abani B in a minute. What exactly that means? Because that's not a word in Hebrew. You're right. Let's talk about the writer and the composer. So Ehud Manor, Zichrono Livracha, one of the biggest writers of all times in Israel. He wrote many good and very famous songs, some of them for children, the most maybe famous children songs, right?
Maybe we'll bring...
Yeah, we'll bring some of them. We'll bring some of them for sure. Also, Nurit Hirsch. She's very well known as a composer, and she composed all of this. And this is our dear Izar Cohen. As you can see, something happened to his haircut. It all fell down. After all those years, he's still active and still performing and has very good mood, a very nice, a good mood. That's him. You want to explain the name of the song? So Abani B, yeah.
It's the language of Bet.
Yeah, the letter Bet. Yeah, B, Bet in Hebrew.
Abani B, Aboy B, Avot Tavach. Look at the black
letters.
Is Ani Oev Otach.
You can read it?
I love you. And we add bet, B.
After almost every vowel, yeah.
Yeah, after almost
every vowel, yeah.
And then it's changed.
It changes that. But what's the meaning of that? Of this language, the B language?
So let's open on the lyrics. We can see that. What they tell us about this.
But I think even you see they say, right, where that here. He said in Hebrew, ve'et ma she'hergashnu be'emet lachashnu rak b'sfat ha'bet. He said, and what we really felt, we whispered only in the Bet language. And Ehud Manor, the writer, he grew up in a city, small city back then, still not very big, called Binyamina. If you heard where Binyamina is, that's up north.
Up north.
And not only in Binyamina, in all around Israel, in the 50s, 60s, the children back then, the second generation, they had this, maybe you have something like that in English, I don't know. They had this secret language where they would speak to one another with the Bet language. They would add the word, the letter Bet after every and each vowel. Maybe you have something like that in English, maybe not, I don't know. You can figure that out. I see some of you are nodding that you do have, so maybe you do have something like that. So he said, I want to write down a song that reminds me of my childhood. So he said, we used to, when we were very shy, to say to a girl in class or in our neighborhood, I was really shy to tell her that I love her. I would say that in the bet language, in Sfat HaBet. I would add the letter bet after each and every vowel. So he said, Abani. Sorry, Ruchama? What?
I remember it.
Oh, you remember it. Here, Ruchama remembers it. Oh, very nice. All right. So,
Ruchama, you want to add for us something?
Do you remember? What exactly do you remember from this language?
Abani?
Do you wanna explain what exactly you remember from your childhood in this language?
I remember that you had this bet after every abani bit.
Yeah, that's right. So if someone was trying to tell someone he loves her, he would say abani bi aboy beba botabach. It was easier for him than saying ani ohev otach in Hebrew. I see some say in our chat, like Maggie and Mordechai, they say that it's called Pig Latin. Really? Pig. Didn't know that. Yeah, here Terry says also Pig Latin. I don't know the rules of Pig Latin. Excuse me.
it's with a P?
I don't know why. Yoke for something. I don't know. If someone wants to give an example how you speak Pig Latin, that's the time. Let's talk a little bit about the song and Eurovision in general in Israel. What exactly is this, the role of this song in Israeli culture?
Okay, so this song, written.
Oh, yeah.
They spoke at the phone and write the song.
Yeah, every time was
written
on
phone.
And when
they finished to write this, they decided that they want this song not for children.
Because originally...
Originally it's right for children. But they changed their mind and they wanted this song for the Eurovision. And then they sent this song with Yizhar Cohen to Paris. And they won
first place. They won first. That was the first time. That was the fifth year Israel participated in the Eurovision. It started in 1973. That was the fifth year Israel participated, and that was the first year Israel won. Now, we need to understand. We need to go back a little bit. Try and understand that Israel was 30 years old back then. All right? It was a very young country. Not that now we're very old, but back then we were even younger. And for Israel to win such a huge contest, like a worldwide contest, to be part of something bigger than herself, to be part of Europe, was something huge. Not only participating, but also winning. Israel hosted the Eurovision the following year. We'll talk about it in a minute, 1979. Israel hosted Eurovision following year with another song that won that you all know, Hallelujah. Right? Hallelujah. You all know it. All right?
But it's not just something special to win, also it's something special to watch the Eurovision. Why? Daniel, want to explain?
Why?
It was really special to watch the Eurovision and to open that
So listen to that. It's hilarious. It's very Israeli. So Israel back then had only one TV channel. Only one. It was called Arutz HaRishon. Right, Arutz Echad, Reshut HaShidur, the Israeli broadcaster. That's how it's called. Probably some of you probably know it and remember. It's still alive, but in a different form called Kan. Anyway, and that was only one channel on TV, also only on radio. That was the only station. And they bought the rights to broadcast the Eurovision in Israel. They bought only 2 hours from from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. During night. That was they bought. They didn't have more money. Israel wasn't a very rich country back then. They bought only 2 hours. No one believed that Israel is going to win this contest. Yeah, we need to understand. No one thought Israel was going to win it. And by 1 a.m., they disconnected. The show was disconnected. They moved to watch something else.
It's 2 hours.
Yeah, it's 2 hours. It was postponed for some reason. By 10 minutes past 1 a.m., 10 minutes later, Israel won the competition. No Israeli knew that. All right? The entire population in Israel couldn't know that their own country won Eurovision for the first time because the Israeli broadcaster didn't buy enough minutes to broadcast this show. Not only that, Back then, many Israelis tried to tune into the Jordanian broadcaster. Back then, the Jordanian radio station and television, you could get the signal from Jordan. The Jordanian, which there were no peace between us back then yet. They also broadcasted the Eurovision, but by the time they understood that Israel is going to win, they shut it down. They had this static picture of flowers on the screen. Not only that, on that Eurovision, Israel won first place, but Belgium won second place. So the Jordanian, just said afterwards, for the Israelis who continued, they wanted to hear who won. They said, Belgium won Eurovision of 1978. So Israelis didn't really know that Israel won that until several hours later during the night, which was, just think about it, this is hilarious, right? Nothing like that can happen in our times anymore. This is the quote. He was a king when he came to Israel. Yeah, you can understand that. He was a king of the 70s and the early 80s. When he came back, when he went out of the plane, there was a soldier carrying him from the plane. It was the King Gizar of Israel. He was more than a king. He was almost a Mashiach. When he came to Israel, which was it was really, 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 really cute and really interesting. You wanna talk a little bit more about the role of that? What happened in Israel back then after he won, the excitement?
Israeli won, and the next year they did the Eurovision in Israel, and they again won
in Jerusalem.
In Jerusalem,
in Binyanei Ha'umah,
with Hallelujah. And they decided.
Wait. What? We won back then again.
Yeah.
Yeah, we won year after year. Yeah, that's okay.
And the Israelis decided that they don't want to do that again.
The government.
They don't have money to do that. So they decided not to host again the Eurovision. And
it moved to the Netherlands. I think it moved to the Netherlands in the 1980s Eurovision.
More than they don't wanted to host, they don't participated because Yom HaZikaron,
the
Memorial Day, was at the same day, and they decided not to take part of the Eurovision because it's the same day of the Memorial Day. So Israel won.
We won, and then we disappeared from the contest. And we won only 20 years later, as we can see here. We made this little timeline. I see someone wrote down, thanks to Netta Barzilai, Israel won again. That's right.
But we had also more.
We won four times in Eurovision in general. Interesting to see how many of those songs you know. So the first one is that we saw 1938 by Abanibi, by Yizhar Cohen. Second one, the following year, 1979. Hallelujah by Gali Atari. It was very difficult for us to choose whether we're going to bring Hallelujah or we're going to bring Abani B. We said that Abani B was first, so let's bring Abani B. 20 years later, 1990, took 20 years for Israel to win again the Eurovision. 1998, yeah. And some of you probably know the song Dana International with Diva, won in 1998. And it took another 20 years for Israel, but in 2018, our dear Netta Barzilai won with a song Toy, that's probably most of you heard in one way or another, the chicken sounds that she's doing at the beginning of the song. It's a very bizarre song. If you didn't listen to it, go now and try it. No, not now, but after our class, go and listen to it. It's the only song, also the one in English and not in Hebrew. The other songs were in Hebrew. Toy was the only song to win in English, not in Hebrew. By the way, until Netta Barzilai won, before 2018, it was believed that there is a special, algorithm or a magic way to win Eurovision for Israel. Is why? Because, listen to that. Yizhar Cohen, Gali Atari, and Dana International, they were all Yemen. All right? They were all Yemen. And Netta Barzilai, she's like half Yemen or something. So they believe for some reason, we don't know why, but Yemen, when they represent Israel on Eurovision, they win. That's what happened so far. Every Yemen Jew that
that represented Israel won. No, but sometimes we send a Yemen, and they don't won. So
sometimes we?
We send a Yemen,
and they didn't won. Yeah, something didn't happen, but in general. Another interesting fact is that Nurit Hirsch, the composer, let's hear again, Nurit Hirsch, she decided, when she composed the song, she decided to take some, I would say, influence from another song that was released 1 year before that you probably know as Stayin' Alive, right? By the Bee Gees. You remember that? 1978, right? Staying Alive. I'm not going to sing. And that was a very, very well-known disco hit in the end of the 70s. The entire Bee Gees were really, really, really big at the end of the 70s and then the 80s. So she said, why not? Let's try and copy and get some influence. Didn't copy it, but she said, we're going to get some influence from those discotheque kind of music, specifically from Staying Alive that was released 1 year before Abba Nibi. And she said, let's try and do something special, which doesn't sound Israeli when you listen to it, but the lyrics are very Israeli. And it worked. It worked really well. And this was the first time Israel won Eurovision. And as we said, it was a very big thing back then in Israel to win Eurovision, because that was the first time Israel really felt, really, really, really felt like it's now for the first time part of something bigger. It's actually part of the bigger picture, the bigger Europe continent. And it was just, also we need to understand, it was 5 years after the Yom Kippur War. Yeah, it was 4 years after the Yom Kippur War. 5 years, sorry. Which Israel was blotting back then after what happened. And we got this as a present afterwards, this era.
Countries routinely participate in Eurovision.
Okay, year. So depends. I'm kind of a Eurovision expert. I watch it every year. So depending on what year you ask. Back then there were around 25. Today there's around 40.
Now Israel is technically sort of on the cusp of Europe, Asia, Africa. Are there any other countries that are outside of Europe directly?
Australia.
Australia is in Eurovision.
Yeah. It's most, they even wanted to maybe add the States to Eurovision one time, but then they decided just to open a kind of a, I don't know, America Vision or something like that in America, between like a competition between all the states. So they did that, but also Morocco, they didn't participate, Morocco participated in one of them. Turkey decided not to participate in the Eurovision that was hosted in Israel because of the tension between Turkey and Israel in the late 70s. So they decided not to. But Turkey also is part of Eurovision, not in the last years, but yeah. Russia is not this year anymore, but Russia is also part of Eurovision in that sense.
You want to talk about the lyrics that we have?
I think we said about it, right? That the lyrics are like written for like children.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. You want to finish it? Yeah.
And maybe we can open the lyrics.
Oh, wow. I didn't share. Took out the screen. Yeah. Here we go.
It's something really cute that they written that for children. We spoke about that. And here they want to show us how adult people need to talk about love and how children
talk about love. Yeah.
So, Idan, if you want to...
Yeah, no, he just said... Yeah, no. He said that when we were children, we would love in secret. Who were we nice to? Only uncles and aunts. I don't know why, yeah, but whatever that means. I don't understand why. So he said, we used to say, Abba Nibi Abo Ebe. But when he talks about the adults, I think, or the other generations, when they grew up,
word.
Yeah, he said it's a beautiful word. It's a wondrous prayer. It's a language, right? Love is a language by itself. So he learned, I think, a little bit by the fact that they kind of developed their own love language, this fatabit, when they were children, a little bit to take something from this childhood and try to bring it to the adulthood, where everything is too much, I would say, how much can you say I love you to a person? It takes a meaning sometimes out of it. So we said, why? Sometimes maybe we should get back to our childhood and use this, I would say, maybe indifferent or this kind of... we say in Hebrew, tmimut. I don't know what's the word for that in English. Yeah, this purity or this very nice kind of childhood, and try and bring it to the adulthood, generation.
Yeah.
This is Abba Nibi. Before we go and re-listen to the song, any questions, any notes? Someone wants to share something?
Someone remembers.
Yeah, Terry.
Terry,
you're muted. Terry, you're muted. Oh, here you go.
Okay, there we go. Ehud Manor, he passed away very young.
2005 from, I think that was cancer.
I'm sorry to hear.
I think that was cancer. Yeah, but he's hit, like he has like thousands of hits all around the place. We will see. He also sang. He was also a singer. We'll see. Oh, what do you have? Oh, hallelujah. Wow, that's a tape. Wow, how many years I haven't seen a tape?
That's a tape.
Wow. Where's your Walkman? Wow. Beautiful. Thank you very much. Anyone? Okay, here you go. This is Hallelujah from the Eurovision? By Gali Atari, or this is just said Hallelujah?
Yeah, no. It's
a song. Okay, yeah, here we see. Oh, wow, that's original. Wow, Hallelujah. Very nice. Okay.
There you go.
Ira, do you have something to say?
I'm trying to.
Ira? What? How old he is? Today or back then?
Who?
Ira?
Let's see,
Rekko. Okay, let's do it. Okay. Ira, do you have a question? We're going to play the song. Okay.
This isn't the one that Leonard Cohen did back in the.
No. This is a different Hallelujah. I will send the link to the song Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When I send again. Yeah. Also, what's a tape? Debbie has asked, what's a tape? Yeah, this is a. I see some loves the Bee Gees, they said they're the best. I don't know, but this is it. All right, let's listen again to a Bunny Bee. Pay attention. Okay. Oh, I didn't do the share sound. Let's do the share sound. It is. Let's and pay attention to Nuri Tears at the back.
Here we go. Nuri Tears, this is Kentucky.
Here she is. This is Nuri Tears.
Israel entry song number 18. The song is called Abba Nibi.
Abba Nibi.
Here come Alpha Beta. Simple peasant smocks, cream trousers, the girls all in white. And this is a good vivacious song for Israel. Might do very well.
And we really did very well. I don't know why he says those lines. I don't know why. This is Abani B. This is Israel Cohen.
I have to tell you, it drives me crazy what memories it brings to me.
We're glad. This is part of this. This is part of the program.
I was singing it when I was 3 years old.
Here you see?
Wow.
Here it is. That's part of it. That's part of what we're trying to do here. So we're glad we achieved that also. Ira, yeah? You have a question? You're muted, Ira. No, Ira has a question, but he's muted. Yeah, you're muted. Here we go.
Who are the judges on Eurovision, and how many of them are there each year?
Oh, that's a big question. So the judges in general would be all countries have their own kind of like a judge committee that they bill, and they send their what is called numbers points, where it goes from 1 to 7, then 8, 10, and 12 points, which is 12 points in French. When 12 points, 12 points is the largest, is the biggest number that they can give, points they mark you can give to a country. Today, they combine it with, you can text a message or use their app, and there's like half and half, have the professional committees, and half of the points are coming from the crowd, from the people at home. Okay. Who vote for
that. And thank you, Maggie. Yes, I will also Google that.
Yeah, you can. No problem for that. This is how it goes today. What are the criteria they look at? I don't know. If one day, maybe I would be offered to become a judge. I don't know. That's a very good question. We're going to stay here anyway, as we say, usual. Class dismissed. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure. And we will meet again next week, Bezrat Hashem, with a new song. We don't know yet what. We need to figure that out. But we'll try our best.
All right.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good night. We're here if someone wants to ask questions or something.
Erev Tov.
Erev Tov.